that will begin his service by singing number 334. The first, the second, and the last stanza. 334. Divert sheds light upon my path, a shining light, it guides my feet. The righteous judgment to observe my solemn vow, I now repeat. Number 334, stanzas 1, 2, and the last stanza. Shall now read to you from God's holy word the prophet Ezekiel, the 36th chapter, and we commence with verse 16. First, the reading of our confession, article 10. We believe that Jesus Christ, according to his divine nature, is the only begotten Son of God, begotten from eternity, not made nor created, for then he should be a creature, but co-essential and co-eternal with the Father, the express image of his person and the brightness of his glory, equal unto him in all things. He is the Son of God, not only from the time that he assumed our nature, but from all eternity. And these testimonies, when compared together, teach us teach us. Moses says that God created the world, and John said that all things were made by that word to which he calls God. And the apostle says that God made the worlds by his Son. Likewise, that God created all things by Jesus Christ. Therefore, it must needs follow that he who is called God, the Word, the Son, and Jesus Christ, did exist at a time when all things were created by him. Therefore, the prophet Micah says, his going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And the apostle, he has neither beginning of days nor end of life. He therefore is that true, eternal and almighty God, whom we invoke, worship, and serve. Ezekiel 36. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of an removed woman. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land, and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries, according to their way and according to the doings I judged them. And when they entered into the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, these are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of this land, of his land. But I have pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore so say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, said the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I give to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleannesses, and I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. This far. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given and richly multiplied unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. Almighty, all-sufficient, and unchangeable God, all that we receive in our hearts, deep impressions of it, in this evening hour of this day, when we draw nigh unto thy throne, with all our needs and with all our wants, it is in thy long suffering that we have a place at thy footstool, not taken away by the hand of death. And in this evening, for the third time in this Sabbath day, that great privilege to gather round about thy word and eternal testimony, without children given unto us, all that thy Holy Spirit may come and dwell in our midst and in our hearts, and that this last service, Lord, for us and for our children, that it may be to an eternal blessing. There is no hope and no expectation from the side of men. We can do nothing else than polluted and corrupted our ways. That is all that is left in the fall of Adam. But view us in thy beloved Son. Confirm to us by for the first time, and by renewing what we have heard already out of thy precious word, I will sprinkle water upon you, and you shall be clean. Oh, that the blood of Jesus Christ, for black souls who have nothing else than sins and misery and transgression, oh, that the power of that precious blood was revealed in our heart and soul and in this evening, that our heart may be rejoiced in thee, the triune God, as the only cause and reason of our eternal salvation and welfare. Instruct us in thy word and testimony in this evening. Enlighten all thy servants and also him who is called for the third time and in the language of the land to explain thy word and to proclaim that everlasting gospel that we experience in this evening, that there are Aarons and Hurs in our midst, standing at our right and left, and above all that the Lord himself, that he strengthen and sustain us, giving boldness and liberty and freedom in this evening, to bring thy word in the midst of the congregation, that it was to the conversion of many souls. Yes, Lord, discover all the false foundations, and that thy people in our midst may receive some provision on their way through the desert of this world to that heavenly Canaan, that the soul may be strengthened out of that covenant that was from all eternity between the Father and the Son, and which is revealed as a covenant of grace with all the benefits and with all the privileges for us and for our children in so far that we receive that faith in our heart to plead upon it, and that we experience that thou art our God and the God of our seed, from generation to generation. Thou knowest the needs and wants in the families, in all the circumstances of this life, which is full of trouble. But Lord, remember us together in mercy and in grace, all the sick and afflicted, all the widows and orphans and widowers, our boys who are in the service, and where that they are, remember them in Christ Jesus and pay them a visit, Lord. There is nothing too wonderful for thee. Gladden our heart that the outgoing of this Sabbath day, that it was to the honor of thy precious name, but also that it humbles our heart, and that we go to our beds in this evening, that it was in our heart, what shall I render the Lord for all his benefits bestowed upon us, and that we may see in this evening the King in his beauty, and receive a right insight in thy word, but can us made wise unto salvation, with the pardoning of all our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. We sing now number 215. Your offering will now be taken, first for the church and afterwards for our school. Number 215. O come, my people, to my law. Attentively give ear with willing heart and teachable the words of wisdom here. Number 215. we ask your attention this evening again for the last part of the 25th Lord's Day. How many sacraments has Christ instituted in the New Covenant or Testament? 2, namely Holy Baptism and the Holy Supper. Beloved congregation, there is maybe some people in this evening that thinks it is indeed a small question and answer but we have to consider, and of course the consideration of that last question that shall not take so much time, but in regard to my sermon last week there were left several questions in regard the relationship between the sacraments and the covenant of grace. And I hope in this evening to explain those questions, who were coming up and who were brought to my attention last week. I hope that the Lord give us a little insight in what he has revealed in his holy word, and that it bears some fruit in this evening for all of us, but especially for our rising generation, that they may be trained in our doctrine, but is revealed in the Word of God, but also is delivered unto us by our fathers from the beginning of the Christian Church. I will say at first some words about the two sacraments. The question, of course, that is not without a reason in our catechism. When our fathers made that catechism, then of course there was an awful confusion in the church. They were brought into that church, to that Catholic church, so many errors and so many wrong things which were not based on the Word of God. In the Catholic Church, they have, as you know, 7 sacraments. They have baptism and the Lord's Supper, as we have. But then they have, outside of that, in the first place, confirmation. That is the same as in our church, the confession of faith. Although you know that the children there, when they are very young, they made a ready confirmation and obliged themselves to that church, most of the time in the presence of a bishop or a dean. And then the second is penance. That is the same as the confession of sins, because you know that Rome overvalued the sacraments, and their doctrine is that our original sins are taken away by baptism. Our original sins, with which sins we came into the world. But all what happens after that, we have to confess that for the priest. And the Catholic Church, even in our days, they keep on what they have taken upon them in 15 and 1600 already in the Concilio of Trento, that a priest is more than Mary, because a priest has power to give solution, to give the forgiveness of sins unto men. And then they have also extreme unction. That is a sacrament. Of course, they made the sacrament self. That's clear enough. That is a sacrament that they give to dying people. In the last times of their life, then the priest that is called there, and when he is leaving the church, because before that he all every time went to sick people, then he went into the church and he laid his hands upon the altar and he take a wafer with him and some wine and also some candles. And then when he is leaving that church, then the bell that is ringing three times, people that is living in that neighborhood and belongs to that church, they know that there is a meaning connected with that, because the bell that is ringing three times, and that means Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and in the name of the Triune God, that priest that went to that dying people to anoint them. Then matrimony, that is the same as marriage by us, but the priest, the clergy, is excluded from that sacrament. And then finally, you have, as they call that in the dogmatic, the holy orders. The holy orders, that means that a priest may be installed as a priest. That is the same as when somebody married. There is also at the same time a reception in the church. They congratulate him with the installing of a priest, and that man, he had obliged himself for his whole life to the church. Now, there is a question why that was coming up in the Catholic Church, whether that is something old or that was from the days short before the Reformation. But we have observed that in that the early fathers, Augustine, Ambrose, and more other ones, that they have spoken of religious things sometimes as sacraments. But the meaning of Augustine and Ambrose, that was not that it were only sacred mysteries. So they thought, but they never have said in their books that it were sacraments. But of course, they appeal themselves for those several other sacraments to Augustine and to Ambrose. There is no ground for all those other sacraments in the Bible, because one of the characteristics of the sacraments is that the Lord himself has instituted those sacraments. And you read nothing about holy orders, matrimony, extreme unction, penance and confirmation, that the Lord ever have instituted those sacraments. Not one word. That is, to a certain extent, the same thing with the tree of life. Some people, even some of our old fathers, they call that the sacrament of the covenant of works. But of course, if we come back to our catechism and what our fathers has told us and explained about the sacraments, then of course, it is clear enough that the tree of life is no sacrament, because the sacraments, they refer to the one sacrifice of Christ, which he offered for us on the cross. That was not so with the tree of life. No. It was well a figure of eternal life. And when Adam and Eve had obeyed the commandment of the Lord, then in that tree of life they saw a figure of eternal life for themselves and also for all the descendants of Adam. Now the Bible has something else after the fall of Adam, but they called peculiar sacraments. You can find that back by our divines. The Ark of Noah, the rainbow, the pillar of a cloud, the passing of the Red Sea, the manna, the rock, Aaron's rod, the brazen serpent, the fleece of Gideon, the sundial of Hezekiah, and the pillar of a cloud, they all were signs of warning, and they have for the church in that day a special meaning. But we have only two sacraments in the church. That was in the Old Testament and that was in the New Testament. Of course, there is a difference between the sacraments in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, we call them bloody sacraments. Bloody. In circumcision and also in Passover, there came always blood in between. That is not so in the New Testament. Now, we have by baptism only water, and by the Lord's Supper, bread and wine. And now both of the sacraments, they are instituted in the New Covenant or Testament. Thus it are sacraments of the covenant of grace. Now I come to another question, of course, very important for us and for our children. We believe on the basis of Galatians 4, verse 24, I give you the text because I always have to think that there is people, and I appreciate that they are listening to the explanation of the text and of the catechism. But sometimes then it happens and they say, you have a text for it. Because with baptism, then we read in the forum, that baptism came instead of circumcision. And then, of course, the people that is against us, that always comes, and then they say, you have read that in the forum for baptism, and that forum that is made by men. And a synod of dirt. And the people, we can well have respect for them, but they were not inspired by the Holy Ghost. And of course, the people that comes against us, that is, thinks not so much about our forms which we have received at that time. For us is that, of course, something else. We believe that that synod was enlightened with the Holy Spirit, and they can try what they will to make other forms, but I believe that we cannot have something better than that we have received in the forum for our baptism and for the Lord's Supper. Of course, there is always people that say, it is not so. I hope we have such a president soon. Really. Then there was not some hope for us. Really. But that man, when he heard that those judges that they had come judged him and condemned him to death, that many folk he found it so awful that he was already an old man then, that he have to die. And then he went there, and then he offered that man grace. And if now that man had accepted, then he never was killed. Then his life was spared, but that man, he said, I am not guilty. I need no grace. And still he was condemned by 24 judges. We are condemned by the judges of heaven and earth. And we are condemned in our conscience, day after day. But what is the trouble? We do not need grace in our life. No. When shall we need grace for our soul? As soon as the Lord brings back and home our guilt and our sin. And as I have told you before, that is now the greatest trouble and problem in our life. Read. In the church, with our meals at the table every time, then the last part of our prayers, that is,
Forgive our sins and our iniquities and our transgressions. That's always. You does it too, I think so. Always you teach that to your children. But if it now is as long as a year, people, that we have as guilt and sin, or not, here. Most of the time it not is nothing else than words. In the covenant of grace is included the church, the elected church of the Lord. And Hellenbrook, he had taught us in his catechism book what the Lord promised of what he required in his covenant. That is a promise of the covenant. Because if now the commandment of the Lord is repentance and confession to come in the covenant, how many people will there ever come in the covenant? How many people? Not the one. Because it is a requirement and a demand of the Lord that he shall convert us, that we come in repentance and with an humble heart before him, but an outside people, and that is the reality. It is an absolutely impossibility to come before the Lord in true repentance and conversion. But what the Lord requires and commands, oh, that is a promise of the covenant. He gave it his children as they, well, they are sleeping. So is it now with the covenant of grace. All the people that is in the covenant, they have not brought themselves into the covenant. No. But the Lord was moving in himself from all eternity. That your father had grace and your mother not. Two on a bed. And two in a mill, and one shall be accepted, and one shall be rejected. And as sometimes people, of the flesh and blood, they can pray and they can say and cry sometimes, oh yes, but in the meantime, then it is more our flesh and our blood than that it is really the truly salvation of the souls and the honor of the Lord. Of course, as long as we are here, then our flesh and blood. Of course, that is not different. In heaven, then God's people that shall stand at the side of the Lord. And then flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. That is now without children too. But father and mother shall not desire that the Lord convert the children. That he looks down in mercy upon them. You can well imagine that. And if it now has happened that the Lord is converted one. But then we say we have not still five. We have still 6, 7, 8, 9, or 10. And they are all unconverted. That is also my flesh and my blood. And what is necessary, but that is now experimental. I step up from that. I come back to my subject. But the same thing, but I need personally for myself. I need that personally too for my own children too. When David said, when the boy died, the child died, that child shall never return to me, but I will go to that child. What had then happened before with that child, with David? than before that David as a father had entered into hell with that shout. That he was subjected to death and condemnation. He had experienced that for himself. God's people that is comprehended in the covenant of grace. And Erskine Hutz, he is also a man with much knowledge and grace, a professor before England, Olavianus, Antonidas, Brahe, and so many other of that people, they all said, in the covenant of grace, the Lord applied what he had promised. Now, there is a twofold relationship in regard to the covenant of grace. A twofold relationship. Outwardly and inwardly. One of our old writers said that many professors of the truth, they imagine that they are in the covenant. They imagine that, but it is not so. Because the Bible tells us that faith, that is not all. Not all people, not all the professors of the truth shall will have it. Many permitted to the church, but who are not in Christ and not in the covenant. Maybe it will help somebody in my midst this evening that I give an expression of Calvin, whom we follow in his doctrine, also in regard to the covenant. Calvin said that the unconverted, that are his own words, that the unconverted do not belong to the covenant, although those are living in the covenant and in the church. And then Voetius, another divine in the time of 1600, Voetius, he asked a question. Is it possible to have the privilege of an outward covenant, outwardly covenant, or to taste an outwardly grace, kind of grace of the covenant, without partakers of the inwardly grace? And then his reply or his answer is yes, in an outwardly sense. There is no outward covenant. There is only one covenant. But we are standing to that covenant in a twofold relationship. Some only in through outwardly confession and partakers of the outwardly privilege. But some, said Voetius, in by an heartily accepting to the tasting of the savingly benefits by means of the privilege, of these privilege. Some people that comes in that respect with a text out of John 15. And of course that text that bears some hardships, and that is now not always easy, so easy to make that to understand right. We read in verse 6, because first Christ, he said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Thus every branch in me. Thus that text that speaks about branches who are in the vine. And we find that nog clearer explained in verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Thus it can be that we are in the vine, and still later on burned up. Is there now an apostasy of saints? No. No. If we ever have received a crumb, and the root of that divine grace in our heart, that shall remain with us forever and forever. That shall be never be taken away. But now I come to something else, and that is this. A man brought up in the church, baptized, living under the means of grace, he never can realize the privilege under which he is living. To hear all the time, people, that there is for a sinner grace in Christ Jesus. To be baptized every time when a minister baptizes children, even when it happens with immersion or sprinkling, that is the same thing, people. Because sprinkling, that is also in regard to the scripture. We can do this, the same thing, no difference. But as soon as we are baptized, then we have a mark on our forehead, a mark of the triune God. If we shall be lost, and that we have to go to hell when we died, then the first thing when we entered into hell, that shall burn, that shall be that mark that is placed on our forehead. Because there was a possibility to be saved. The Lord, he has opened the way of salvation to our soul. The Lord has spoken by baptism to us that he will, our God and the God of our seed, unto thousand generations. We are living under prayers and supplications, under warnings and admonitions. And if that harden our hearts, people, if it brings us not to the right place, then it shall be more terrible for Sodom and Gomorrah, for Tyre and Sidon, than for us. How young that we are, and not only young, but 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years, you have a freedom by virtue of the covenant that the Lord had made with the church in the New Testament to lay yourself before the Lord and to say, Lord, I am baptized. I am baptized. Remember, Remember your covenant that you have me. Confirm it. Confirm it to our soul. There's people even amongst us that say, oh yes, but. We have always heard from the pulpit and in catechism and all the time the confession that it is the work of the Lord. Now come up and now give me as an answer to that. Have you freedom to say in this evening that we can do something pertaining to our eternal salvation? Is there something left in us that we can bow before the Lord? No. There is nothing left in us. But can we ever blame the Lord that we are so miserable and so wretched people? Can we blame the Lord that I cannot pray? That I cannot sigh, that I cannot cry. Oh, if we twin this evening, it is possible that it happens, people. Before that it is 12 o'clock, that we stand together for that great years. It is possible. And shall there ever be one body that would say, Lord, I could not comfort myself? Shall there ever one man open his mouth? No. We shall stand there dumb, so dumb and so trembling, because the Lord shall bring back to us our whole life. And the Lord shall not start with men in paradise in the fall of Adam, but the Lord shall start with us where he has created us, adored with his image, that we have the power and the strength to obey the Lord and to walk in his ways. And all that saying here, I cannot comfort myself. Oh, finally, people, there's nothing else as an revelation of our enmity against the Lord. That is all that it is. Because if we come, if the Lord open our eyes, people, I can take no better example. If the Lord us bring to a standstill, that he break us down in a saving way, when he break us down, then I ask you, those that have any experience of it in our midst, some experience in our midst, did you ever blame the Lord when you lay there in the dust and in ashes before the Lord? Did you ever say to the Lord, I cannot comfort myself? I have a desire, but I could not do it. Is there one who ever said? No. Our whole life that comes against us, boy and girl. And then, all that we say with David, I have sinned against you. Lord, you have given time to me, but I have it all neglected. And I go to the church, but though most of the time I don't know what that minister was preaching and what that old reader was saying in his sermon. I was sleeping in the church time and again, and I gave no attention to it. And I was thinking in the church, oh, I am glad when that church is out soon, that I can go outside. And then it is a relief that I can talk about the parties and about the cars and everything from the world. Really. Oh, I hope once, people, that there was so much impression under the word of God that outside that church, that there was nobody who had to say anything. But that they all were as nothing as tears. And that they say, oh, what shall it be if we have to be lost and soon to be saved into hell. Young and old, great and small, but an awful, awful thing. So many privileges, so many warnings, so many prayers, so many admonitions, and then unconverted, unconverted. But there is not something else, and then I stop for this evening. There is a text in 2 Peter 2, first, the first verse. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction, the Lord that bought him. How can that be? How can Christ buy somebody and then lost forever? Is that possible? No. And it is in the text here. It is in the text. But our divines who explain that text, they say that the people that gave themselves for the people in the preaching and in the teaching, that they were bought by Christ. They gave that for to the people. It seems, in other words, that it was so, that they were bought by Christ. But a deceiving, but an awful deceiving, for such an awful eternity. And now, I hope that you have realized this evening, it is all imperfect what I have said to you, of course, but you can well imagine, people, that it is not without reason and not without meaning and without value that we are baptized and living in the church. No. But to be in the covenant essential and with our heart, then we must be converted. Because the covenant is irrevocable. Irrevocable, that means in Holland, that is onherroepelijk. The covenant of grace is mentioned in the Bible as a second covenant and as a better covenant. The covenant can never be broken. However, in Genesis 17, in Jeremiah 31, in Hosea 6 and Hosea 8, the Lord speaks there about breaking of the covenant. But that means only breaking of the calling that lays upon us to convert us and to walk in the ways of the Lord. But a breaking of the covenant of grace, that is impossible, people. But we come under a certain, we say in the Holland language, under a certain verplichting. We would say here in English, an obligation. Because the Lord, he said in Ezekiel in one place, my children, you have taken them and offered them up upon the Moloch. My children, were that converted children all know, but the Lord, he had them right upon us. Because we are baptized in his name. And it is our calling and it is our duty to bow before him in the dust, to return to him and to convert ourselves. More than 50 times in the Bible, the demand of the Lord is that we have to convert ourselves, and the Lord, he shall require it from our ends. Thus, I hope young and old, leaving this church in this evening, under that impression, that it is an awful responsibility that lay upon your shoulders. And what awful it shall be in the day of days, if that all shall testify against us. Oh, I hope, and I close now, I stop with this. I hope that it goes with you, my unconverted fellow travelers, as with one of our members in one of our congregations, and that woman, the Lord made her concerned about her eternal welfare. But then she had so much strife with the predestination, with election and rejection. And then one time she fell on the floor in the house, and she said, Lord, that number that is appointed from all eternity, appointed by thee, but Lord, please. Oh, please, can you add me to that number? Can you add me to that number? And she received it. Oh, yes. But of course, that little prayer of that woman, that was all a proof that there was something in the heart. Because without divine grace in our heart, people, we are not interested in the honor of the Lord and in the salvation of our soul. Never. May the Lord bless and sanctify the few words to our hearts. And those who have a little grace, oh, it is a reason to bow before the Lord time and again and to pray, Lord, increase it. Increase it in our heart and establish it by thy Spirit. Amen. Lord, bless and sanctify thy word. Remember the congregation in this coming week in all the difficulties, in all the needs and all the wants. Strengthen in the day of tomorrow that mother who shall be operated, and also that child that will have an operation too. Be with them together. We commend them at thy throne. May the well gladdened heart of that father and of those parents and the whole family, Lord, that we receive grace to acknowledge thee in all our ways. And then the Lord, he shall direct all our paths. That there may remain something of what we have preached on the basis of thy holy word in this evening hour, and remember us together in grace and in love with our dear ones where they are over the length and breadth of the world. For Christ's sake only, amen. We sing now number 140. The collection is for the school. God be merciful to me, and what follows.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.